think this time of year, once we start getting into September and we start to do the math, we look at the calendar, and all of a sudden, it doesn't seem like we have as much time as we thought we did, right? We're going into that quote-unquote year-end sprint. And as much as we want to get these deals across the finish line, we don't want to do it in a way that we're coming across as desperate and hard up, and certainly we don't want to come across as pushy. So today we're going to talk about how to keep your deals moving forward without pressuring your prospect. My name is Paul Castain from Castain Training Systems, and I'm the author of the YourSalesPlaybook.com blog and your host for the Sales Playbook Podcast. I've personally trained over 15,000 sales reps, sales leaders, and business owners to sell more. So get your playbooks ready because school is now in session. Okay, so this week's episode of the Sales Playbook Podcast is brought to you by our brand spanking new webinar that's going to be coming up this Thursday, September 21st at 11:30 a.m. Eastern Time, called 25 Ways to Finish the Year Strong. Now, if you'd like to learn more about it, all you have to do is go to yoursalesplaybook.com/finishstrong. I'll be talking a little bit about it at the end of the podcast, but for now, we're going to be talking about how to keep your deals moving forward without pressuring the prospect. Because the way I see it is that we have certain times of the year where we have to step it up a little bit, right? And some of these things are kind of like self-imposed, and some of these little deadlines we have are imposed by the leadership team. We got to finish the quarter strong. We got to like pull out all the stops, and you know, like they're busting your balls to get the deals in the bank and all that. But this time of year, man, we've got year end. So we're into that year end sprint. I almost said right there, I need to tell you, I almost said year end strip. Imagine that. Like, what the hell am I thinking about here? But like, or your year end strip, whatever like appeals to you. But we're going to be talking about that year end sprint and how we can like expedite these deals without being a complete pain in the ass. And, you know, I just want to share something with you guys. What happens, and forgive me for beating up the obvious here, what happens when you're a complete pain in the ass to someone? I'll never forget, years ago, I was buying something on behalf of the company I work for. I was the vice president, and I was I really hadn't decided, as far as they were concerned, if I was going to buy this particular thing. It was assessments for this company I was working for the sales force. And this guy, at the end of every single month, would have some new pressure technique to try to get me to sign right then and there. And the reason why this really backfired on him, and I wasn't trying to be a sleaze here, but I was trying to negotiate the best deal I could for my company, right? That's what buyers do. And I was like realizing, all right, man, this guy at the end of each month seems to be under pressure to make the deal. So really what I want to do, first of all, like, I mean, he's making up like these bullshit deadlines that mean nothing to me, like as if like almost as if they're going to disappear and I will no longer be able to buy an assessment from anyone on the planet after whatever this little imposed deadline was. And I decided, all right, you know what? I don't need this thing right now. I'm going to string this dude along a little while and get the best possible deal. And I kid you not, I negotiated a deal where in the beginning, before he started with all these like these desperate moves at the end of every month, in the beginning, we were talking about these assessments costing my company about $250 a piece. Now, we were going to be buying a lot of these. By the time we got done, and because he came across just so hard up for a sale at the end of every month and these little like BS deadlines he tried to pressure me, I reduced the price down. I kid you, I'm seriously not kidding here, from $250 to about $25 a piece. But before you think, wow, Castain's a real prick, I mean, we were buying a lot of these. Seriously, we were buying a lot. I had a sales force of 850 people that I was supporting, so it was going to be a lot of these. So that's one of the things we really have to watch out for. So How can we tighten the proverbial leash, keep that deal moving forward without it just seeming like some cheesy closing technique, and without us coming across like that person did, like really desperate? So the very first thing, and both of these ideas that I have for you are seriously going to seem like sales 101, which is why I'm worried about you guys. Seriously, a lot of you guys dismiss things that come across as sales 101, but meanwhile, you've never done it. Or the last time you did it was like 5 years ago when you started in sales. Just like lose all that shit. Seriously, it's like tell your ego to leave the room and accept any lesson, whether it's a sophisticated lesson or it's a real basic sales 101 lesson or whatever it is, but especially accept the lessons that you find yourself saying, ah, that's basic. Because that might be your ego really like protecting you because you're afraid to go back and try something or afraid of failure or whatever it is. But here goes. Now that we've kind of had an informal pinky promise, the very first thing that you want to do is establish agreement for the decision date. Yeah, I'll say it for you. Duh, right? But I have a way of doing it that adds urgency to the mix that you might not be doing right now. And it's so simple. So again, I want to establish an agreement on a day and time when a decision is going to be made. This way it's not open-ended here. We're not going to have things stringing along. And even if it's the most simplest of deals that I'm working on, I need the most simplest of deals that I'm working on to close quickly so that I have even more time to work on those deals that might take a little extra care. So what I do, the way that I establish agreement on a decision date, yes, I could ask you when you're planning on making a decision. I really choose not to do it that way. I think it could be too open-ended that way. So what I do is, and you're going to need to change the wording of this to fit your world and your prospect's world. So what I do is I ask them, ideally, when would you like to see something like this launch? Because we talk about like launches a lot in sales training or kickoffs or things like that. So I might say, ideally, when would you like to see a program like this kick off or launch? Now, for some of you, it might be, when would you like to see delivery? Ideally, when would you, like in the software industry, ideally, when would you like to see this implemented? Things like that. So what I do is I just try to find out, ideally, when they'd like to essentially have the delivery of this widget. Now, if we're not talking about something specific, right, where we're talking about a project, or maybe those of my friends in the printing industry, somebody's talking to you about possibly utilizing you guys to print a particular project or whatever, when we're not talking about something that's very specific, there's a different way that I phrase it. And what I do is I say, ideally, when might you be, you know, thinking about making a change? Again, I'm keeping it kind of, I don't want to be presumptuous here, by the way. Like, you've decided to go with me at this point when generally when I ask this question, we're really not too far into the meeting. And so I keep it very, very general in those cases where we're not talking about something specific. Maybe they're talking about making a change in general. Maybe they're thinking about, they've never had a sales trainer that they've worked with. They've never had a speaker or a coach or whatever. So they're talking about the idea of partnering with me. So we don't have a specific project on the table. So in a case like that, I might say something, ideally, when would you like to see something like this get set into motion or whatever? So however way you want to word it, what I do next, once we get the date, so let's just say I ask you, hey, John, and provided that your name is John, because if your name is Mary, you're going to get really shitty with me, but hey, John, when would you like to see a sales training program kick off? Now, let's just say you turn to me and you say, well, you know what, Paul? We would love to see this kick off first week in January. So now to put some urgency in this, I'm gradually tightening the leash now because I've got a rough date in mind now when you're planning on making this change. At the same time, I'm gauging like your level of urgency. Like if you said, if you answered that question to me and said, eh, I don't know, you know, sometime in the spring, truth be told, you know, I don't know even if we're going to do something like this. We came across your website and, you know, I'm just kind of curious. That's going to tell me something right there. And it's going to tell me how crazy I need to go with this. I mean, I'm not going to go like for something like that, turning around and making a proposals now and all these other things, if it's something that you don't even know if you're going to do. So I'm going to need to probe further and see if this is something you're serious about. Because one thing I know, especially this time of year, I cannot tie up my resources. And especially tying up my resources on something that might be a fishing trip. So it gives me that opportunity to gauge that. But I'm going to think positively and just illustrate a scenario where you've told me, January, Paul, we're looking to do this like first week in January. So now what you do is you subtract out your lead time. Now for me, if you guys ever want to hire me as a sales trainer for your organization, you want me to come out and train your team or whatever, I need about 30 days to make that happen, provided that the dates you're talking about I have available. So again, thinking positively, I have those dates available. We're gonna launch something right around that time. But my lead time is about 30 days that it's going to take. That's not like some made up number, because there's a lot of back and forth to get sales training right, where we're really assessing what your team needs. We might actually use assessments. We might use focus groups and back and forth. Whereas based on that, I come up with a rough draft of what a 1 or a 2 day or, you know, a 6 month or a 1 year program might look like. You're going to like some of the items. Other items you might say, hey, let's work on these other two and refine them. There's a lot of back and forth. So we like to allow about 30 days, because once you give the blessing on that, then I start scripting out the day. I create PowerPoints. I'm going to have handouts printed up, sometimes full-blown training manuals. We're creating role plays. We're creating pre-work going into it. So it takes some time to do it right. So, and the reason why I'm like kind of overdoing it there and explaining to you guys, I just want to show you I'm not making up a number to give some kind of bullshit urgency, right? I mean, we've seen that in sales where it's like we're imposing these fake deadlines on people. And if I feel it necessary, I'll actually explain why I need at least 30 days to people so that they understand it. But I don't like to overexplain things if I don't need to. So now what's happened? I know the ideal date that you'd like to start. I'm going to subtract out my lead time. And what I'm going to say in a case like this, I'm going to tell you when you need to make a decision. I'm going to say, okay, so if we're looking at launching something first week in January, let's say, and again, I don't have my calendar in front of me, folks, but let's just say I did look at my calendar and it's like January 4th or whatever. I'm going to say, so in order for us to hit that deadline, you would need to give me a decision no later than December 4th. And then what I'm going to do is I'm going to, like, this is why I like a face-to-face meeting. And what I'm going to do, something a little bit different with body language here, by the way. I'm usually not one that is big on body language, only because, like, there's a lot of things that are almost like myths that people misread with body language. For example, many times you're taught, well, if somebody folds their arms, that they're skeptical, right? Or they may not believe you. Well, it could be that they're cold, or it could be that they don't know what the hell to do with their hands. That's me. Sometimes I'm a really like animated type of dude, and sometimes I don't know what the hell to do with my hands. So you would be misreading that situation, because I tend to believe people. It's just my nature. But what I do with body language, though, here, that's a little bit differently. If I'm face-to-face with you, what I'm going to do is I'm just going to ask you, is there any reason why we wouldn't be able to honor your deadline, by the way, by you being able to give a decision by December the 4th? And I'm going to make sure, I mean, hopefully up until now, I've been looking you in the eye, or both if you have two. But of all the time, now is the time to make sure you're looking somebody in the eye. And what I'm going to do at that point is see if there's any like immediate change in your body language or change in eye contact or anything like that. That can tell me a lot right there. That's when I use body language and things like that. That's when I like to read it, when I see a change. I like to get kind of a baseline reading of how someone is. And then when we have sort of the more difficult questions or the more intrusive questions, I make note to see if there's any kind of a change, because that could be very, very telling. So what I've done here with this little sales 101 move, and there's a few other things to add to this, is, you know, it's given me the opportunity to do a few things. I mean, first of all, tighten the leash without being pushy. Am I being pushy there? I mean, I'm asking when you'd like something. So this, I mean, it's kind of important to get the expectations on the table, right? I'm hopefully creating a sense of urgency. I'm not leaving this open-ended. In fact, many times when deals stall out, it's because we didn't create, or they just didn't have the level of urgency. And if they don't have that level of urgency when you're trying to create it, I think it's a red flag opportunity, because I would rather find out a few minutes into my meeting that you're really not fully on board with this. You're not fully vested in doing this type of thing with me. Then after I tie up my resources, and again, I want to remind you what time of year it is. It is the time of year when I'm going into my year-end sprint, where pretty much almost like every freaking minute, every second of my day counts more than ever, because it is really, it seems to go faster this time of year. It's like, it's just, you blink and it's gone. So before I start tying all that up, I need to know that you're on board. So that's really, really important. It gives me a red flag opportunity to say, wait a minute, this person might not be all that into me here. So very important. But now the next thing that I do, and it goes right hand in hand with it, is I make sure that in every one of my meetings, especially that first meeting that I have with people, that discovery call or whatever, when we do a needs analysis, like a full-blown meeting, what I do, you ready, is I make sure at the end of the meeting that I assign homework to them and to me, but not in that order. I make sure that I assign homework to my prospect, even clients too, by the way, and to me, but not in that order. I always start by assigning myself homework. The reason why is because it's disarming, and that's what I want to do. I want to disarm the other person. I don't mean that in a bad way or for evil. I just don't want them to be guarded. I don't want them to feel like, you know, I'm pressuring them or whatever. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to set the tone for urgency, and like, we're going to need to be doing things to keep this moving forward. And I'm going to start with me, and I'm going to go back to that deadline and just say that, you know, I just want to let you know I'm taking your deadline seriously. And in order for us to get to a decision, both of us are going to have to make a decision if this is something we want to engage in and that we're able to do it, and we want to be able to make an informed decision together on the 4th or whatever it is. There's some things that we need to be doing before then. So I'm going to start with some preliminary homework for me. So hypothetically, I'll just give you an example of what that might sound like. So, you know, in order to respect that deadline and be able to make an informed decision on the 4th, there's some homework that we're both going to have to do. So we'll start with my homework. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to get you pricing on 5 reps going through the coaching program that we talked about. Also, too, I'm going to get assessments out to your leadership team. And by the way, what I do at the end of that is I give them the timeline for both. So I'm going to get you the pricing on 5 reps going into the coaching program, assessments to your leadership team. You'll have this by this Thursday. Now, fair is fair. You have some homework too. So your homework's going to be, I want you to review the proposed dates that we talked about today. Review them with your team. And this would be the dates that we would do in January. And this way, if that first week doesn't work out, we have an option that's later in the month or whatever it is. But because time is ticking, we're going to need to know very, very quickly if this is going to be something that they can even make it on those dates and they can mark their calendars. So we're going to need consensus on this quickly. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to get all this to you. And what I want you to do is get back to me and let me know by next week or whatever if this is going to work for you. Also, I want you to find out from each of your sales reps what their top three challenges are that they're facing right now. And then this way I can use that to start putting together some preliminary content, because it'll be based on them and what's real to them and what's challenging them, and not you and I speculating on what we think they need. So I think, and I also think they're going to appreciate you actually asking them. So if you can get that to me by later next week, that would be a big help. So what we've done here, folks, again, I'm just kind of winging it with you. So forgive me if I'm, that's why I'm not an actor, right? I'm you know, just kind of winging it here and not the greatest at it. But I'll tell you this, it tightens the leash. It puts that sense of urgency. It provides me with a red flag opportunity. Because if I get somebody who's like, well, yeah, I don't know, maybe we're kind of jumping ahead or whatever it is, then I'm saying to myself, well, why in the hell am I going to go and bust my ass and do all this work if this person here doesn't even really give a shit at the end of the day whether we do this? I mean, why am I expending resources? Like, you know, I think many times we get into this, like, I don't know if it's like this false optimism or whatever. We think, well, if we're just positive about it, no, if the person isn't interested and they're just into this real curious type of thing or whatever, yeah, obviously you want to try to move them over to your side of the fence. But if they're just not there, why tie up a lot of time and energy right now? You're not going to tell them to piss off. But I'm saying, yeah, just put them on the back burner and maybe move to a higher probability opportunity. But the other thing that this does with the homework that's so important is that it keeps them engaged in the process between meetings. And you have to realize that it's that between meetings time where you're most, and me too, you and I are most vulnerable, meaning they are susceptible to the influence of others. And it could be the influence of stakeholders, could be the influence of your competitors. You're not there to control that conversation. And also, sometimes there's just nothing going on and they're not thinking about, and when I say nothing going on, if you don't have any homework for them, they're not thinking about you and your widget and what initially had them excited about making a change, whether it be pain or opportunity or both, and momentum is lost. That's how deals conk out. So I want you to be very, very careful. But also, assigning this homework allows them to test drive what it's like working with you. Because here you are, both of you, or both of you's guys, as we would say out here in New York, rolling up your sleeve and working side by side. And that brings us really to the final selling point of the homework concept, is that it sets the tone for a collaborative relationship. I mean, we don't set out to ever, I hope we don't, to be like domineering and, you know, like the alpha male and this whole thing. And we certainly don't set out to be like the submissive and that we're catering to them. And it's, I like things being at a collaborative level where I'm not above you. You're sure as hell not above me. We're equals. And those are the people I work with. And when I come across people that don't want to play that way, you know, Uncle Paul is nobody's bitch. So we're going to be parting ways. But by the same token, I never want anybody to feel like they're my bitch either. So it's very important that we establish a collaborative type of vibe to this. And I feel that the homework levels it, keeps it very, very equal. So that's really what I do, folks. I mean, there's other steps that are involved to this whole thing. I don't want you to think, that's it, there's the system. Casting, you know, it seems like something's missing. There's a lot missing, because there's actually several things that I do before we get to the step, and there's several things that I do after. And there's not a ton of steps that I follow, because when it's complicated, I find it's very hard to follow, right? We want something that's repeatable and scalable. So I've kept it very, very simple, but there's steps before, there's steps after, and if you're interested, I'm actually going to be sharing them this Thursday, September 21st, 11:30 a.m. Eastern Time during our 25 Ways to Finish the Year Strong. Just let me give you a quick glimpse of what you could expect by joining us on this webinar. We're going to be talking about two different ways to triple the amount of referrals that you're getting. And the reason why I included referrals in any kind of a webinar that has to do with finishing the year strong, it's because to me, it's the lowest hanging of the low hanging fruit. And there, most people, by the way, I mean, everybody knows you should be asking for referrals, but most don't because either they feel weird about it or they just don't know how to do it. And I've got you covered on both because I haven't been thrown out of any buildings yet by using the two techniques I'm going to teach you. In fact, one of the techniques, I mean, no joke, I learned when I was like, I don't know, like 60th or 70th worldwide, almost 20 years ago as a sales rep. I was 60th or 70th, I think it was like maybe 60 or 65th actually, in a company that had 350 sales reps. Had a chance to hang out with the number one rep in the country, shot some pool with them, had a few beers, and found out a secret. And once I learned that, I mean, I really wish I could find the guy and just kind of thank him. I wouldn't give him any kind of a cut of all the commissions I've made, but I'd at least buy him like another beer. I'd even let him order from the imported beer list because, you know, shit, I'm nobody's bitch and I'm not a cheapskate. That those are two things you need to know about me. But we're going to be talking about that. We're going to be talking about a few ways that you can actually utilize LinkedIn to cut right to the chase and get more appointments and get more opportunities. We're going to talk about some emailing techniques. Some of them are very specific to this time of year that I want you to be leveraging that chances are you aren't. So we have some really cool email techniques. We're going to talk about how to actually leverage the fall and winter season instead of being challenged by it. If you were one of my coaching clients, one of the Paulisms, they have this name jokingly that they use to refer to things that I tend to repeat a lot in the coaching program. They call them Paulisms. So one of the Paulisms that I am known for saying is that you always leverage what you've been given. So instead of seeing something as a liability, like, oh shit, this time of year, man, it is just a real pain in the neck. I'm going to be hearing call me back after Christmas and people slow down and mentally check out. That's a liability. But there are ways for you to say, wait a minute, what are the assets? What have I been actually given here that I might not be seeing because I'm too busy pissing and moaning about the fact that people are going to stall? There are some things that you can really leverage this time of year. So we're going to be talking about that. We're certainly going to be talking about more ways to create urgency this time of year because I want to see you guys get these deals across the finish line as quickly as possible. And we're also going to talk about several ways for you to reduce skepticism and stalling because that's another thing that could really get in the way of you guys closing a lot of deals. And finally, the biggest takeaway is by the end of the webinar, you're going to be able to create a communication plan that's going to help you expedite more of your deals and really leverage the season instead of being like the rest of the sales population and being really, really challenged by it. So if you'd like to learn more, and certainly if you'd like to reserve your seat, now is really the time to do it. I mean, I'm recording this now on the 17th. Many of you are going to be listening to it on the 18th. And, you know, heck, it's going to be like 3 to 4 days out. So now is the time to move on it because procrastination, guys, you know, is a bitch. So I'm really going to strongly urge you to check it out. And if it's something that you want to do, get on the list now and join us. So you can learn more by going to yoursalesplaybook.com/finishstrong. yoursalesplaybook.com/finishstrong. And with that, I'm Paul Castain from yoursalesplaybook.com, and I am wishing you an incredible week ahead. Go get them. The Sales Playbook Podcast is a Castain Training Systems production. Visit us at www.yoursalesplaybook.com.